And now they will record a home victory against the Golden Knights. Here's the horn. Final score at KeyBank Center in Buffalo, New York. Sabres 4, Golden Knights 2.
Going to score a little bit.
Yeah, a slow start for, in the first period, obviously, but I thought we played better as the game went on. The second period was real good and did some good things down low and, struggled to score. But, we just lost a special team battle tonight, and that was big.
A couple of the guys in the dressing room talked about confidence and that right now it's at a little bit of a low. How do you help them build that up at this stage?
You just keep working, Gary. You put the nose to the grindstone. You keep working. You keep compete hard. And like I said, we didn't play a bad hockey game tonight. We had some good looks at the end of the game to tie it up. And, unfortunately, we didn't get any points here tonight, but we played a better game tonight.
Gerard Gallant in his final game, little did we know, last night after Buffalo, talking to the media, Gary Lawless, Dave Shane, and the bunch there in Buffalo. We are stunned. I think most people are this morning. The texts and tweets I'm getting, people are floored that this has happened. And we had to get to someone who knows this team best. Follow him on Twitter at Ben S. Goats, our Vegas Golden Knights insider. Did you see it coming?
Hey, morning, gentlemen. Absolutely. Not. I was, of course, woken up to a phone call from our great colleague, David Shane, because I am not on East Coast time, unlike the team, to... No, I think this news has... I mean, it's stunned not only me, but most of the hockey community is floored right now.
Did you feel that, in previous times when Gerard was with Florida and Columbus, the overriding principle was that he had lost the team. I put it in air quotes, that's a term when you say the management wasn't able to actually get reaction from the players and influence the way they needed to impact on the ice. Did you feel like that was a narrative that was going on with this season?
No, I didn't really feel like Gallant lost the room at any point, but maybe that's part of what was at issue for the Knights, or seemingly, is that, we've talked about it often enough. Gerard Gallant has a well-earned reputation as a player's coach. He trusts guys. He gives them a lot of rope, and he kind of lets his players be the one that either make him look like a good coach or a bad coach. And maybe, the Knights are now mired in a 4-game losing streak. They have more losses than wins. They're out of the playoff picture. Maybe, upper management just felt like, hey, these guys need a swift kick in the butt. They don't need to be made to feel comfortable by doing the same drills in practice, kind of having the same things preached at them. And so maybe that's kind of ultimately why they decided to make this change, is they're just like, we don't think Gallant's going to be the one to make what we think might need to be drastic changes to turn this team into the Stanley Cup contender that we believe it should be.
Yeah, you hear things, and I'm sure you heard the same things last year's. He didn't always get along with McPhee, but that happens with team GMs and coaches. I mean, that's nothing new. Rosters, decisions, whatever. But as I said before you came on, Ben, and you can tell me if you think I'm right on this, when we're all in the locker room talking about him, I think they love him. I don't think that he lost the locker room. You talked to Marchessault about this guy. You talked to other players. So when you fire coaches, to me, especially at this part in the season, you've lost the locker room. They don't play hard for you anymore. Your message isn't getting through. I just am shocked if that's what's the case here. I think it's more McPhee and him have fundamental differences. I've always thought, I like Kelly. I think he's a figurehead. I think George runs everything of that organization. Did you see any cracks in the foundation of how players related or felt about Gerard Gallant?
Like I said, really, no. I didn't see any cracks or any deterioring of relationships there. The one thing, of course, I can point to is that he had against the Los Angeles Kings kind of what has become, a somewhat annual tradition of his blow-up game, where there is a game that the Knights just don't perform up to snuff, and he goes off on the team. Last year, people remember, it was a home game against the Arizona Coyotes. The Knights were kind of in a slump. Everyone was like, oh, the Coyotes are coming to town. They'll get back on track. The Knights didn't. They didn't play well, and Gallant blew up the team. Now, I think he also had some choice words for the team after that Los Angeles Kings game, and then they proceeded to not really respond well against the Columbus Blue Jackets and, of course, not respond well last night against the Buffalo Sabres. So there might have been a part of it where McPhee and McCrimmon just went, well, they're not responding to him the way that they should or the way that we need them to at this point. He used one of the kind of moves in his toolbox, and it didn't seem to connect. So we got to find out to see if someone else can do this, because obviously they think that there's no reason that they should be out of the playoff picture after 49 games.
with Ben Goetz from the Las Vegas Review-Journal covering the Golden Knights. On the Press Box morning show, Gerard Gallant has been fired. Peter DeBoer has been named as the replacement in the interim. All right, let's, you know, one of the things about Gallant's style, Ben, was like after a loss, Gallant wasn't the guy to go into the locker room and start tearing into guys. In fact, what he would do is not talk at all to the guys and then talk to them the next morning because he felt when he was a player, that was the last thing they needed because that's how people and that's how players will start turning off the coaches because you just hear too much of the negativity after a loss. Is that not working? Is it, what it, does McPhee want DeBoer to come in there and start like railing guys? I mean, what, do you feel like there's some sort of like disconnect there with how they deal with games after they lose?
No, I think that's definitely part of it. I mean, it's, you know, like we're talking about two coaches when we can get to Pete DeBoer that kind of have opposite styles that way, at least in a little bit. I mean, Gerard Gallant, as I mentioned, he's a player's coach. He gives guys a lot of rope, and ultimately they kind of gave, or he gave them enough rope to ultimately hang himself with. Or Peter DeBoer, who's kind of known as Prickly Pete, I don't think would be afraid to walk in that locker room and go up to guys and be like, you're underperforming, you need to be better. Kind of what, that's what Craig Berube did with the St. Louis Blues last season, is that Mike Yeo, who was fired, who's seen more of a player's coach, and Craig Berube was a guy who in his first team meeting just basically tore into the team, told them that a lot of those guys needed to be better. And of course, they went on to make an incredible run to the Stanley Cup and ultimately won it all. Now, that change was made a little bit earlier in the season. We'll see if DeBoer would have nearly the same impact on the Golden Knights, but I have to assume that's what McPhee and McCrimmon are hoping for.
How much do you think this has to do with the way Game 7 went down last season when when the team blew a 3-1 lead and then a 3-0 lead in the last 5 minutes? How much did that really get into the organization?
I mean, it's a fair question, but honestly, that's one of those things we'll just never know. We'll never know if winning another playoff round or going on a potential run, as the Knights believe that they were poised to before that call went against them in Game 7, would have been enough cushion to have Gerard Gallant keep his job. It's just one of those things we'll never know now at this point, but obviously that win and the subsequent run the Sharks went on bolstered Peter DeBoer's resume and made him a hot enough coaching candidate where when he got fired, he was out of work for basically a month.
Yeah. Well, talk about Pete DeBoer. I mean, we were saying earlier, things happen in playoff series. It was very emotional last year. The clown comment by Gerard, I'm sure, I don't think he thinks he's a clown. Pete DeBoer's a fine coach. My issue is, if in fact, let's just assume he didn't lose the locker room. I think Pete DeBoer's in a horrible spot right here. I think he's a really good coach, but if there are guys in there who still love Gerard Gallant, that is a tough spot to walk into. I'm not going to repeat DeBoer because if they didn't hire him, they were going to hire somebody else. All that guy did was take a job. He's a really good coach, I think. But do you agree that he's going to walk in the locker room in Ottawa and they're going to stare at him and say, what happened here and why should we believe in you?
Yeah. No, I mean, I think it's definitely a tough spot for him. Now, as you mentioned, I mean, Pete DeBoer is certainly qualified to take this kind of a job on. He's been to the Stanley Cup final with each of his previous two teams, the New Jersey Devils and the San Jose Sharks. He's a guy that's really smart, thinks the game really well. Like I said, I don't, you know, think, at least from his reputation, that he'd be afraid to come in guns a-blazing and be like, I don't care if you guys don't like me, if I'm not Gerard Gallant.
Right.
You guys were underperforming, and this is how I'm going to get more out of you. And we'll see if that works. I mean, certainly the Golden Knights are underachieving, and there is a lot more to be mined there, but of course they've talked so much about that they believe that the process that they were working with was going to get them results. Clearly the front office didn't feel that way, and now Peter DeBoer has to kind of sell this new vision to a new team with, you know, 32 games or 33 games left to go.
Peter DeBoer, Peter Laviolette, now Gerard Gallant have all got their teams to a cup final and then were fired within two seasons. And Bruce Cassidy better watch his back. But when you have a guy like DeBoer, what would you describe as DeBoer's kind of demeanor on the ice with his team? How do you feel like this will enhance this team? Because obviously the team wasn't going in the way the direction George McPhee wanted it to. How is Peter DeBoer going to make it better?
Yeah, well, like I said, I think it's kind of using his kind of Prickly Pete reputation. I'm sure there'll be system tweaks and whatnot as he tries to kind of make the team play a style that he wants to make it play. But I think ultimately this was done to just send a message to that locker room, not just from Peter DeBoer himself, but I think this is George McPhee and Kelly McCrimmon saying, hey, we think things were getting too comfortable under Gerard Gallant, a player's coach who doesn't like to make too much out of any one game. Like, we want to make this team a little uncomfortable right now. We want to put them in a tough situation and see how they respond. We need to put a fire under their you-know-what, because they can't play like this with all the money that we're spending on these contracts. And so that's, I think, ultimately what they're trying to do here. Like I said, Peter DeBoer is a very smart coach. He's super well-experienced. It's not shocking to me that he wasn't out of work long after being fired by the Sharks. He certainly was a very, I think, small part of the Sharks' downfall this year. But the fact that it's obviously coming with the Golden Knights, I think, is a surprise to everyone.
I think it's a surprise to a lot of the fans. I think a lot of the fans, you know, and this is one of those things when you have an expansion team and a team gets in this love affair with the city around it. You know, Gallant's almost seen like as a fatherly figure, and now you're going on into the fog without him. I don't think Gallant's going to be out of a job for very long, to be honest with you. I have a feeling like even Steve Yzerman in Detroit would probably like to have Gallant back. Calgary, there's a lot of teams that would love to have Gerard Gallant on their team. I can't think of one who wouldn't.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I think that Detroit opening is certainly one to watch. The Detroit Red Wings, of course, one of the worst teams in NHL history this year. They are just so, so bad. So you can absolutely see maybe after this year, Gallant getting together with an old buddy, Steve Yzerman, and trying to form a partnership to rebuild that proud franchise. I mean, it is crazy. We've had so many, and this is just on-ice coach firings for performance reasons. There's, of course, been some off-ice issues that have led to coaches losing their jobs. But there are a lot of talented coaches on the market, which is maybe why the Golden Knights felt confident to make this move, that they knew that if they made a change with Gerard Gallant, they had a guy like Pete DeBoer, who has been to two Stanley Cup finals with two different teams, just sitting on, you know, his couch ready to rock. I mean, same with Peter Laviolette, who probably needed more time to process his firing because he was fired much more recently. But, I mean, he's obviously a proven coach, too. So I'm sure that, you know, emboldened the Knights to make this move rather than just, say, firing Coach Gerard Gallant and, you know, making one of the assistant coaches the coach.
Yeah, with Ben Goetz here from the Review Journal talking about the Gerard Gallant firing from the Golden Knights minutes ago. You know, when this happens on teams, I have seen it before, a lot of players take that as a sign to leave. And I tell you what, I would have to think, I would wonder what Marc-Andre Fleury thinks about Gerard Gallant getting fired in this realm. Carlson, Marshy, Stastny as well. I mean, there's guys on this team that, you know what, they've long been in this profession for a long time, and I don't know how they're going to feel about the way Gallant was dispatched in such a disgraceful manner.
Yeah, well, I think the big one that you hit on there is Jonathan Marchessault. I mean, I think so many of these guys on their teams, they've got long-term contracts with the Golden Knights. I mean, they know it's a business. These guys knew when they signed their contract that a lot of change was ultimately inevitable. I mean, in the NHL, you're hired to get fired. I mean, it seems just the other day I was talking to Gerard Gallant because he became the longest tenured coach in the Pacific Division in his third season, and he just said that's crazy. Like, he knows what an insane profession that he was in, and so do the Knights. And so I think most of the players will ultimately be disappointed but try to take it in stride and try to, you know, fight for a playoff spot this season. What I think will be interesting to watch is a guy like you mentioned, Jonathan Marchessault, who came with Gallant.
Yeah.
Obviously had experience with him with the Florida Panthers, was kind of a Gallant favorite. He empowered him not only on the ice, but in the locker room.
Yep.
And so that's one where you're kind of curious how Peter DeBoer might view Jonathan Marchessault and what ends up happening with him. He's still under contract for a while, but will he get the same opportunities under a new coach that he did under Gallant?
So now who coaches the Pacific in the All-Star game?
You know what, Ben, because I really like Gerard and I'm stunned here, but Clay is right. I literally have gotten 10 texts about, like, can he still coach the All-Star game? Now, I don't think that's going to happen. I think Gerard would give him the big frog you on that.
Oh,
but what do they do? Do they go to the next coach down, I assume?
Yeah, I honestly don't know. That's something I still got to figure out myself. But obviously, I would assume, yeah, Gerard Gallant would want nothing to do with the All-Star game right now. I imagine that that man is on a plane to Prince Edward Island to hang out with his family, be with people he loves, which, you know, Godspeed to him. And, you know, I assume he'll come back, relax, recharge, and ultimately this summer or somewhere down the road get another job.
Well, Ben, we appreciate you coming on in this this time of need. We appreciate your thoughts, and we'll follow this story as it continues on to the press conference, which will be coming up later today.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you, Ben. Fantastic stuff, man. Follow him on Twitter at Ben S. Goetz, G-O-T-Z, with the Las Vegas Review-Journal. We're sitting here in stunned silence as, again, the Golden Knights have fired Gerard Gallant. We're going to take a commercial break, and then we want your phone calls. Let's talk this out. 364-1100, 364-1100. Golden Knights fans, how do you feel about Gerard Gallant getting this, you know, really shown the door in the middle of the season, broomed before they hit Ottawa? We'll get your calls next. 364-1100.
It's the Press Box on ESPN 1100 and 100.9 FM.
Slow start for, you know, the first period, obviously, but I thought we played better as the game went on. The second period was real good and did some good things down low and, you know, struggled to score, but... You know, we just lost a special team battle tonight, and that was big.
That was Gerard Gallant from last night's game after they lose to Buffalo 4-2 in Buffalo against the Sabres. We're back here on the Press Box Morning Show. And that was the final words from Gerard Gallant as head coach of the Vegas Golden Knights. This morning, about an hour ago, he was fired from his duties. And Peter DeBoer, the former San Jose Sharks coach, is in reading from the statement. And we'll get to your calls in just a second at 364-1100. Line them up as the Golden Knights made the change to the coaching staff. Kelly McCrimmon will be available to the media at around 9:30 Pacific time. But according to the statement, he says, in order for our team to reach its full potential, we determined a coaching change was necessary. Our team is capable of more than we have demonstrated this season. And we'd like to thank Gerard and Mike Kelly. Mike Kelly also gone, the assistant, relieved of their duties. They were both instrumental in the success we have enjoyed. But we're moving forward. And Peter DeBoer, we have a proven, experienced head coach who we can believe help us achieve our ultimate goal. And here we are. I'm Clay Baker. Doug Marsh is here with us, as well as Ed Graney. We'll get to your phones in a second. Doug Marsh is in the press box each and every Vegas Golden Knights game as the media box announcer. What's your title there, for God's sake?
Press box announcer.
Press box announcer. Okay. So, what were your feelings when you first heard this? Did you feel like this may have been like a knee jerk reaction to something, or was there something building over time?
Well, I think, I think that he became Gallant. At least the Gallant argument won't have to worry about that. DeBoer is easy to pronounce. But I will say this. I think he became a product or a victim of his own success. Hmm. Nobody expected what happened in year one to happen. So if they had missed the playoffs there, I think he would have, you know, because as expected in year one.
Hard to repeat that.
It's very hard to repeat that. Just ask Peter DeBoer or ask any NHL head coach.
He was shown the door.
Last year, of course, the way that the season ended, amazingly enough, against the Sharks. And now this year, having had a good upswing, I think the Vegas Golden Knights, whatever you think of this move right now, are trying everything within their power to not have the season goes sideways. Mm. And I think, unfortunately, they're seeing it after a great December. I mean, a really good December.
Very good December.
And is it a knee-jerk reaction? I don't know. That's not my place to call. But I think having my phone blow up and having walked around the hallways while you guys are on, everybody's listening to you guys right now. Because, I mean, it is the biggest thing. Welcome. We're now a big league city. I mean, this is what happens when you're a big sports league city. This is the kind of things. But the thing that stuns everybody is, even more than getting rid of Gallant, is that it's the arch enemy, the clown, as it was called in the series last year, Peter DeBoer. And people, I've heard some people say, oh, well, you know, he's unsuccessful. Well, you look at his record with New Jersey. You know, he had a very good run in New Jersey. Mm-hmm. He had a pretty good run in San Jose. He coached with the Florida Panthers. You know, so, I mean, he does have a proven track record. But I think it's just that gut punch of the number one, and we didn't know this in year one, but it's the Sharks. That is the number one rival for the Vegas Golden Knights. And to have DeBoer then come on and be announced, and I heard what you guys were saying. Can you imagine when he walks into that locker room in Ottawa?
Of all the guys.
Hey, guys, what's up?
Oh, man. So here we are. Let's get your phone calls at 364-1100. This is a therapy session. Golden Knights fans, call the number. We got to get this out. 364-1100. Gerard Gallant has been fired as the Golden Knights head coach, and Peter DeBoer is in. We'll start with Scott. Scott's been holding on the line. It's almost like deja vu all over again, Scott.
Oh, my goodness. Almost like deja vu all over again. I'm a resident fan. So okay. I'm a Golden Knights fan because I've been here a long time. But at the end of the day, this is just like deja vu because you fire mid-season. I mean, everybody. I mean, hockey fans are hockey fans, and us as sports people, we understand that first year, of course you're going to be good. I got to pick the best player from every team. If you didn't protect him, then I get to get him. So, of course, we got one of the best players off every team in the league. So we were going to be good. But at the end of the day, I mean, this spot right here is bad because being at the Golden Knights, their fan base is they're so high because they were winning, and that's what it was. Mm-hmm. Now you get a coaching change, and this guy starts losing. I guarantee you it's a lot of other things to do in Vegas and pay $60 to go to a Golden Knights fan, go to a Golden Knights game, and it's going to take a minute for true fans. I mean, hockey is not real big in Vegas right now. With me, I go to the game, I see all types of jerseys, and I see a lot of Golden Knights jerseys, but these are just like me. We come from other places that have professional teams, and we integrate it to what the Golden Knights is. But now it's like, okay, you hired the boys. Don't get me wrong. He is a good coach, and I don't know him that well from his track record. But, man, to get rid of Gallant, man, the Wings would love him. I like that. The Wings, we would love – I mean, excuse me, I forgot I'm going to go next.
Scott showed his true colors.
But we're not going to feel sorry for him. He's going to have a job. It's not that he won't. Like you say, he'll have a job here probably by the end of the season. But, man, this is going to be real trying for McPhee and the Golden Knights in general because of the fan base that they have, because he has to come in and he has to win. I mean, the best thing is they're on the road for the rest of the month, so he gets, what, 6 games before he comes back here to the Fortress and have to face these dudes. But he better come back with a winning record, because if he comes back losing, it's going to be hell to pay in the Fortress. Thanks, fellas. I'll hang up and listen.
Thank you, Scott. That's a good call. And think about that. If you go and make a change horses in midstream from Gallant to Peter DeBoer, Peter DeBoer better rack up a bunch of wins or this is going to explode into McPhee's face.
Well, you're 100% right, and I think it's also strange on the timing of it all, in that you couldn't wait a few more games till the break. I mean, that it's so urgent that it has to happen. We've got a game tomorrow.
Yeah.
But it will be interesting, because if all of a sudden, you know, they're playing some teams that are in the lower echelon of the NHL. Ottawa tomorrow night, they played a pretty good game, I thought, against the Sabres. Ottawa tomorrow night, that's a winnable game. We'll see. If they can beat Ottawa and Montreal, then they finish out with Boston before the big break. They take 2 out of 3. It'll be interesting to see how fans might change their mind.
364-1100, we're taking your phone calls as we sit amid the dust and the rubble after the shattering news of Gerard Gallant fired from the Vegas Golden Knights. We'll go back to the phones, and Carl's been waiting patiently. Carl, you've been following this team ever since its inception. How surprised were you at this move?
I was kind of 50-50 because of how they started the season, everything else, the penalty kills. It seems like they can't get all the aspects of the game going at once. Now all of a sudden it's something new, and his reluctancy to change, I think it's kind of started, me personally, in the Stanley Cup Finals with his reluctancy to change their game, and ultimately end up losing that series.
You mean the lineups, not changing the lineups around?
Not changing the lineups around, not implementing different schemes. I mean, how long did he wait to implement a defensive scheme when they went on that run earlier this year, and now all of a sudden he can't get them to play on the penalty kill? They can't play 5-on-5. It's just too many different things going on at once. They can't get anything going. And I think at the end of the day, I made the comment last week when we talked that everything was falling on deaf ears, and he might have possibly lost the locker room, even though they'll never say it, but something just wasn't right.
What did you think of, like, the last 4 games, at least, the losing streak? How much do you feel like, you know, just this losing streak and maybe going under 500 had something to do with it?
I think a lot of it had to do with it. I look at it this way, too, and I didn't say it last week when we talked. When you have a record against winning teams, or a record they had against winning teams or playoff-contending teams like they did all year, and then you go down 3-0 to St. Louis and then storm back to win that game, and then all of a sudden to lose the following 4 games after that in the same fashion that you got down 1-2-3-4-0 and you can't come back. I thought that St. Louis game would have put them up over the hump to get enough confidence to get them going, and all of a sudden they just get kicked right back down to the ground and they can't figure it out.
Oh, my goodness. So what do you think about, are you welcoming Peter DeBoer in with welcome with warm arms? I know you're a big Golden Knights fan. Hey, personality Pete's back. Are you excited?
I don't know. I thought they were kind of quick to make that decision for Pete DeBoer when you got Pete Laviolette sitting in the wings, too. Granted, Ben Goetz made that comment that it hadn't been more than 2 weeks or whatever it was for him getting fired. But there was I would say probably between DeBoer and Laviolette that it could have been.
All right. All right, Carl, we appreciate the call, man. I'll see you down the road. We'll get together at a Parkway Tavern, all right, man?
Yeah, when are you going to be in Henderson?
I think in 2 weeks' time. I'll let you know.
All right, there we go.
All right, Parkway Tavern. And will be joining me on, at Tivoli Village on Thursday for the Golden Knights Ottawa Senators. We're going to take a 90-second break. Then we're going to join Bill in Green Valley and more of your phone calls here at ESPN 1100, 100.9 FM, 364-1100. Gallant's been fired. What do you think?
Sure. I really don't want to talk about that, but I think I'm going to have to a little bit because, you know, for that clown to say that in the paper yesterday, it's not right. There might have been two incidents that happened, and I'll tell you both of the incidents. Logan Couture, I thought it was an embellishment, so I'm yelling at the referee. I'm not yelling at Logan Couture. The other one, game two, Evander Kane's yelling at Ryan Reeves between the bench, and Evander yells at me. He said, "Hey, coach, when are you going to send your big guy out in the ice and play him more than 4 minutes?" And I said, he's played 10 minutes every game, and he's going to play a lot more. So them are the two times. If I'm going to be a chirper and a loudmouth, I think people know me as a coach and respect me as a coach. And if he's going to yap about that, that's a little unclassy for me.
That was just 9 months ago when Gerard Gallant called Peter DeBoer a clown. And now Peter DeBoer has taken Gerard Gallant's job. It's the Vegas Golden Knights. Tell you what, the stories never stop, and they never cease to amaze me, but today was a stunner.
I'm telling you, Clay, Doug, I think we're all stunned. You know, Doug, and thank God we brought him in here because he does a great job with the Golden Knights. You know, and Ben said the same thing, Doug, because I'm trying to wrap my head around this. I don't think he lost the locker room, but Ben made a good point in that he's blown up a few times this year, probably the Kings. And Clay, he mentioned another one earlier this year where he really took the team to tax paper, but I still think he had the locker room. And when you fire a coach at this point, and he's still winning enough, you've lost the locker room. There's no really other reason, unless he and McPhee just didn't get along anymore, and it was just, you know, unfixable, which could have happened. But I don't know about you. Like, I'm stunned, and I know Pete DeBoer, we talked about this. Pete DeBoer is a good coach. He's
right,
a fine coach.
Yes,
they were going to hire somebody, so
right,
it's like,
right.
Don't be mad at Pete DeBoer. But I don't know, Doug. You're around it, too. I just can't believe he lost that locker room to the point where you blew this guy out at this point.
Well, like we were discussing just in the break, in the few seconds we were talking, the timing seems, the urgency, it seems like such a strange time to do it when you know you have three more games before basically a week and a half off. I understand Gallant was the All-Star coach. We'll see what happens there. But it just seems like...
I think he's going to give the big you-know-what to the All-Star game. Okay.
Or he'll take a taxi cab to the game. Who knows, one or the other. But it does seem strange. But like I said, when I first came on, it just seems like this organization has set such high standards in such a short amount of time, and they've gotten a city energized. And I think, I mean, all in all, it's still just what, a 4-game losing streak?
That's all it is.
I mean,
I think they've lost more. I think Dave Shane wrote this morning it's their second longest losing streak. So they've had another one earlier this year, like a 5, right?
Yeah, or, I believe so.
Yeah, they struggled this year. And yeah, look, I'm not going to make excuses for the guy, but whether it's Glass out or Marchessault out or Eakin out, and I'm not sure anyone, you know, people have problems with Cody Eakin, but they've never been able to have a top six, and I think you agree with this. I think their best second line is Stastny centering Pacioretty and Stone. But when the bottom six loses, guys, Stastny has to drop down. Tuck's been in a slump. You don't really know where to put him. I don't want to make excuses for the guy, but he hasn't had his whole lineup. I keep going back to reasons for why this happened, and Clay, I have no idea. I'm like, I'm searching here, and I better find out something because I got to write a column.
To me,
what am I going
to
say?
To me,
Doug?
That if you want to fire Gallant, that's one thing, but to me, to have Peter DeBoer already in place, meaning that it shows me that you premeditated this move. You had intentions on bringing Pete DeBoer in, and instead, if you had a real firing, wouldn't you bring up an assistant to go and take the place of Gallant?
That's a good point, and when Pete DeBoer got fired, we now know what McPhee thinks about Pete DeBoer.
I agree, but I will say this. If I am looking at an organization, unfortunately, and it can happen to all of us too, it can happen to anybody, you know, from an organizational standpoint, I think that's a good thing. You should always have a plan B ready.
Like so, the AD with the list in the desk?
Yeah, exactly. Okay. I mean, as heartless as that sounds.
No, you're right.
That's the way you want your organization. You don't want them to be. What if today they'd be just said, oh, now, you know, the press box announcer's the new coach. We're calling him up.
Right.
Now, I would have been happy, but, you know.
Well, you would have been one for one on that, my friend.
I might be 0 for 1.
All right, 364-1100, 364-1100. We're taking your phone calls as we try to make sense of the firing of Gerard Gallant from the Vegas Golden Knights. Pete DeBoer is in. We'll go to the lines. Bill in Green Valley, waiting very patiently. Thank you, sir, and good morning.
Good morning, guys, and I am fuming. I mean, I can't. I thought somebody was playing some kind of practical joke early on April Fool's Day or something like that.
Right.
Not only to hear of the firing, which is completely ridiculous in my opinion, but then to have, you know, the arch enemy fire up already, you know, with the chair already under the desk with his nameplate made 30 seconds after the firing is announced. It's like, I can't put into words how angry I am right now. I think as Doug said earlier, Gallant is probably a victim of his own success so quickly, but he didn't, you know, he wasn't the one that made the decision to sign the long-term contracts for, you know, these players that have put us in, you know, potential salary cap hell for a short amount of time. And I believe in something called equity. I mean, he got us to the Stanley Cup Finals when we had to go through five different goalies in the first part of the season when Fleury was injured and everybody kept going down.
Kept
the locker room together.
Well.
He obviously, the players, you know, whether you think they love him or not, they play hard for him.
Yep.
The second year he's here, you know, they make the move for, you know, the higher named players instead of the misfits, and we go for it and say, this is, you know, better than we expected. Let's go. And he gets us to, you know, the playoffs, and we get totally screwed out of that. And then you get to the third season, and it's been bumpy and up and down, but you can't anticipate Fleury's dad getting sick, and you can't anticipate all these injuries and things like that. I thought he held the team together really well with the parts that they've got. I mean, they don't have to this day, don't have a number one A-line defenseman, which they could have traded for many different times or signed in the offseason. That's on McPhee and McCrimmon. So I think he's done an amazing job, and I think he's always going to be associated with Golden Knights. And as far as hiring this other joker, yeah, I know he's had success, and I think he got screwed in San Jose because they completely stripped that team down and then said, hey, why aren't you winning? Get out. So I thought he kind of got screwed in San Jose. But I sure as hell don't want him behind my bench. And I think if it was me and I was a season ticket holder, I'd sit the first game out and let Mr. Foley see what it looks like to have an empty T-Mobile arena for a game.
But won't you say, do you think, because I know there's a lot of sentiment with fans that are just in this building that I've talked to before I came in here. Do you think if they go, let's see, they're on the road for a long time, they don't come back until, I believe, February 8th against Carolina,
right,
off the top of my head. If they go 2 out of 3 before the break and 2 out of 3 after the break, are fans that, do fans have such a short memory that they'd be like, oh, well, now, hold on here a second.
Fans just want to win. Yeah, no, Doug's exactly right, and that was an incredible call because I think he made a lot of good points. Fans just want to win. If Pete DeBoer comes in and they beat Ottawa and they beat Montreal, then, you know, it's, I think they'll miss Gallant, but fans just want to win. They don't care about anything else. So you're right about that. He starts winning games, then they're gonna explain in their own minds real quick that this was a good move. Now he comes in and loses to Ottawa and Montreal, and
right,
it will not be considered a good move.
It could be rough. Bill, we appreciate it, man. Thanks for calling.
Thank you,
Bill. Let's do it
again,
brother.
Bill. That was a good call.
Thanks, guys.
And you know what? I'm glad Bill called because he's right. You think back of that. Perfect point. Was he a victim that they won so fast? What did Foley say, Clay? Like, playoffs 3, cup and 8?
Yes.
That's a big thing.
Right.
Well, it was almost cup and 1.
That's,
I mean,
right,
you know, and it's like all of a sudden now I'm okay with expectations changing. I don't know if I'm okay with expectations changing so fast that you fire this guy in his third year either, though. There's kind of a balance there between, yeah, there's a lot of expectations, but my God, they're not the Sharks this year. They're not out of it. I mean, they're a point, you know, we said in the Pacific,
right,
2 points.
They're a five-game winning streak from being in first place, let's be honest.
Well, they're like 3 points behind Arizona, who's in first. You win tomorrow night, you could be like in second place tomorrow night.
But that's, and I know there's a lot, I disagree with a couple earlier callers. There's a lot of great hockey fans here that are knowledgeable with the Thunder and the Wranglers and things like that. But I know from just my own personal in-laws, there's a lot of people that are very new to hockey.
Yes.
And they were stunned with what happened last year with Eakin. Now, being a hockey fan, I grew up an LA Kings fan. You know, McSorley's crooked stick. Yep. I mean, you know, yep. all the things. So, you know, as somebody who's been through it for a long, long time, you're like, you know, that stuff happens.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, this stuff happens too.
All right, we got calls. Michael and Marty, we got to take a quick commercial break. Doug, Ed, and I are here as Gerard Gallant has been fired from the Vegas Golden Knights. We'll get into more of this next here on the Press Box Morning Show.
I look at it this way too, and I didn't say it last week when we talked. When you have a record against winning teams, or playoff contending teams, like they did all year, and then you go down 3-0 to St. Louis and then storm back to win that game, and then all of a sudden to lose the following four games after that in the same fashion that you got down 1-2-3-4-0 and you can't come back. I thought that St. Louis game would have put them up over the hump to get enough confidence to get them going, and all of a sudden they just get kicked right back down to the ground and they can't figure it out.
Oh, hell has broken loose! Gallant has been fired! And here we are, Doc. We're in the midst of it, man. We're dealing with people's agony, shock, and surprise.
And I don't blame them.
And I don't know where there's any semblance of stability now in this organization where you actually felt like, all right, one thing you could trust, Gallant's going to be around. All right, players will come and go, but the Gallant, McPhee, McCrimmon, that triad always seemed as strong as possible. And now we've seen that that has now been broken.
Well, as you know, as we all know, it's the oldest adage in sports. You can't fire all the players, so who do you go for?
And
I wish they did that with the baseball and all the players were just suspended.
There you go.
The cheaters in baseball.
Houston, come on. Let's dive into that Houston cheating scandal
right
now.
Let's dive in on the Red Sox right now. What's happening in Las Vegas?
You better go to the bank and get your money into some Canadian money.
I'm headed to Canada.
I know. Ed's over here.
I'm over here booking trips. I got to go see Pete DeBoer. Hey, clown. I don't think that should be my opening line.
No,
Michael's been waiting on the phone. 364-1100. We're taking your phone calls. Surprise, disgust, dismay, joy. What are your emotions right now as Gallant's been fired? Michael, fire away.
Guys, I heard this about 7:50 this morning, and I am still raging, fuming right now. How can you fire a man that took us to a Stanley Cup in our first season in existence where no one gave us a shot, and then going to the playoffs 2 years in a row, and you have a winning record, and you're going to fire the guy?
Mm-mm.
I don't understand this. I'm still boggled on why this would happen to us.
Did you feel like the losing streak had something to do with it, or you think there was something longer and more like something was piling up?
It's not his fault that the guy's not scoring. We were the highest scoring team, one of the highest scoring teams the last 2 years. It's not his fault the guy scored 4 goals in 3 games, including a shutout to Columbus. It's not his fault.
All right. You know, Michael, it's crazy because when you start out those games very poorly, everyone starts to think they start to turn their heads at management and they are getting off to bad starts. It's because of management's not getting them in the place they need to win.
I mean, I found this out about an hour ago and I'm confused and I'm bogged and I'm mad. I don't know why this would happen.
Well, now, Michael,
it's only two and a half years to our existence and they fired him already.
Does it make you even matter that it's DeBoer, the former Sharks coach, that's replacing him?
That one, I'm just like, why don't you just feed us to the dogs now after that one?
Okay. Well, there you go. Thank you, Michael.
Michael's mad.
Feed us to the dog.
Well, that's a fan.
Michael can only take so much. He, 7:50, can't even enjoy the Fruit Loops in the morning, and next thing you know, he's got to deal with this. Marty's on the line. Marty, make sense of this crazy move as Gerard Gallant's been fired.
Come on, Marty. We need your kid.
All right, we'll go to Matt.
Marty's so distraught.
Matt's had enough. Matt, go ahead. What do you think about the firing?
Hey, you know, I'm not going to – everyone's mentioned all great points. He took us to, you know, the Stanley Cup. He's done great for us. But just from a personality standpoint, I don't think I can – when you see Gallant on the side, you see someone gets hurt, bad call. He goes crazy. He yells at the ref. passionate. Mm-hmm. You can tell that he cares about the players. He's been there since day one, just like the rest of a lot of them, and he seems to care. Anytime I'd watch the Sharks when we play them, Pete DeVore just looks so timid. There's more passion in ping pong, it feels like. I don't understand. I can't go to that. I feel like he's not going to fight as hard as Gallant did. Personality-wise, I don't know. I'm pretty upset about that. Just about everything else, everyone else, that I think Gallant got the raw end of the deal, but that's one thing I don't think that I'm going to enjoy too much at all.
What do you think about DeBoer?
Matt doesn't think... Well, here's the thing. It's also, you have to remember... Everybody remembers their first girlfriend or boyfriend or love.
Oh, you never forget your first.
You never, and that's the thing. That's what makes this even tougher. This was the guy that came in that was here during the tragedies of October a couple years ago that took us to great heights. So it's going to hurt even more. And then it's almost like putting a little bit of, have you ever done that, rubbing alcohol on an open wound?
No, it feels great.
Yeah, well, I know Clay loves it. But the point is... That's kind of what DeBoer is to a lot of fans, and I understand. It's like, of all the people, I think that's just, okay, this happened. You're ripping off that Band-Aid, and it hurts like hell, but then all of a sudden, oh, by the way, our new coach is, you know, who is formerly known as the clown,
formerly
known
as the
I better
clown.
Stop saying that.
We got to be nice now, but it's like he was the guy, the arch enemy of the Sharks. And he was the guy that you almost cheered when they got fired because earlier this season you're like, oh, the Sharks are in disarray, they're unstable, and they're without DeBoer, you know, they're probably going to tank the season. And what now of the Golden Knights?
After the Knights game yesterday, my wife and I are sitting there at home, and now she's become totally addicted to hockey. We flip it over to the Coyotes-Sharks game. Now, who as a Golden Knights fan should you be voting for? You should, as a Golden Knights fan there, be voting for the Sharks because the Coyotes are ahead of you. She goes, I can't vote for the Sharks. No matter what, I cannot vote for the Sharks. I mean, you know, that's where logic as a fan goes out, and all of a sudden, that's why you're a sports fan, and all of a sudden, you're just like, wow, I can't deal with that, and that's what everybody's going through this morning, and I totally understand.
Yeah, I do. I think in the days to come, and I know it's raw right now with everyone, and everyone's upset, and I'm upset in terms of I just think this is... I think it's really a gut, too quick a reaction, Doug. But you know, again, I'm not going to blame Pete DeBoer. I mean, Pete DeBoer's out of a job.
No, of course not.
And out there, if the bottom line is, if they weren't going to hire Pete DeBoer, they were hiring somebody. If they made the decision to fire Gallant, guess what? You need a coach in Ottawa. And Pete DeBoer, say this about Pete DeBoer: he can come in and coach right away. He knows how to run a team. He's not new to this. He's done it before. I don't like the Pete DeBoer thing. Means nothing to me. It's more like, why did you make this move with Gerard Gallant? You're going to get someone to coach the team. And maybe people say, well, why wasn't it one of his assistants? Obviously, George McPhee likes Pete DeBoer. And I'm sure when he got, like Doug said, he made a great point. When he got fired from San Jose, if this was on George McPhee's mind at all, maybe he's always liked Pete DeBoer. Maybe last year when they beat, he saw something in Pete DeBoer he didn't see in his own guy when they won in seven games, as crazy as that was. We don't know. But when you hire Pete DeBoer this quick, you like him for some reason. There's some kind of fondness there if you hire him right away like this. I mean, it's like very rarely do you get the press release. Goodbye, Gerard. Hello, Pete.
Right.
You never get that. You always get somebody in the interim. The fact that they had Pete DeBoer's name already ticketed on there made you feel very premeditated. We got to take a break. Let's get your phone calls. We'll continue on. Frank Harnish will join us, Vegas Golden Knights Insiders, in the third hour. It's 364-1100. We got a lot of calls. Let's go.